From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this edition of Washington Watch, today is Memorial Day. For some, it's the unofficial kickoff of summer. It's a nice holiday weekend where family and friends get together, but it's much more than that. It is a day with a lot of history. It's a day in which we stop, we pause for a moment, and we reflect upon the great sacrifice that was made for the freedoms that we enjoy. It was first known as Decoration Day, a day to decorate the graves of soldiers that died in the Civil War. It began in 1864, rather. Women in Pennsylvania put flowers on the graves of their dead from the just-fought Battle of Gettysburg. The next year, a group of women dedicated the graves of soldiers buried in Vicksburg, Mississippi, in a cemetery there. And in 1866, women in Columbus, Mississippi, laid flowers on the graves of both Union and Confederate soldiers, an act that brought the nation back together. But in the same month, in Carbondale, Illinois, 219 Civil War veterans marched through a town in the memory of the fallen to Woodlawn Cemetery, where Union hero Major General John Logan delivered the principal address. The cemetery and this ceremony gave Carbondale its claim to the first organized community-wide Memorial Day observance. And today, I'm going to be joined by a few American heroes. First, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin will join me. Then we'll be joined by retired Marine Lieutenant Colonel Ollie North, who is the incoming president of the National Rifle Association. And then we'll be joined by retired Army Major General Gary Harrell. And I hope you'll take just a moment and stop. And as we are joined by these men who have served with such great Americans who have been willing to lay down their life. The scripture says, you know, when Jesus and John said, greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for his friends. That is what makes America different. Men and women don't put their life on the line for a great cash reward or that their family would receive certain benefits. They do it out of love of country, out of love of their fellow man. And that is unique to Western civilization, which is inspired by Christianity. Well, joining me is Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, retired after 36 and a half years in the United States Army. And as you know, he's frequently on the program, Executive Vice President here at the Family Research Council. And it's just an honor to serve alongside of him. General, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. This is a very special day.
It is. And what prompted me to set aside this entire program on this Memorial Day dedicated to this topic, as you know, we were just over in Israel a few weeks ago for the 70th anniversary of their independence. But preceding their Independence Day celebration was their Memorial Day celebration. And I was struck by the fact that everything stops. In fact, I remember being on the street at, I think if I recall correctly, it was 11 o'clock in the morning on that day, and the sirens blew, and everybody stopped.
Yep.
And I remember seeing a guy who was standing in the street, had parked his car, and there were a couple of cars that didn't stop, and he got in the road and stopped them to make sure that they would get out of their cars and stand in observance for those few minutes. We've kind of lost that in America.
Yeah, I'm afraid we have, Tony. And by percentage of their population, you know, Israel has had some tremendous losses in fighting for their for their liberty, their freedom, going all the way back to the War of Independence in 1948. This is a very serious issue with them because they know, number one, because they're Jews and they know what the prophets have said about remembering where you came from and who you are. And it's very important to them to remind themselves every year of the sacrifice that's been made and the you know, the lineage of those Jews that have helped preserve their freedoms.
Well, also, General, every person in Israel has served in the military. It's mandatory that you serve. I think the males 3 years, females 2 years. Mm-hmm. In our country today, when you look at the veterans, it only represents about 7% of the population. At any given time, only 1%, less than about a half of a percent of the American population is serving in the military. And so I think unless you've served, as you have, as I have, we've lost. I wouldn't say you have to serve to understand the importance of it. I wouldn't say that because I know growing up as a kid, it was a much different day. It was a day that we stopped to recognize that great sacrifice. And I want to start by asking you, what does this day, Memorial Day, mean to you as you have served alongside so many brave men and women who have literally laid down their lives for this country?
You know, Tony, we're right here in Washington, and just across the river from us is Arlington Cemetery. And so one of the things that I try to do on Memorial Day is I try to go over to Arlington Cemetery, not only to show my respect for all of the men and women that lay in rest there, but all, particularly for those that are resting there that I was at war with, that I went into combat with, those that didn't come home, those that were killed in service to their country. Those are the ones that that I go and honor on Memorial Day. And if I happen not to be in Washington, then I try to go to a veteran cemetery somewhere. But I reflect on the names and the faces of those that just didn't come home, that gave the last final measure, as it is often referred to.
And that's got to be, I guess, personally a little challenging as well, because you've led men into combat, and some of them have not come home.
Right.
And as a leader, I mean, you bear a part of that. I mean, part of you is lost when you lose a man like that.
No, there's no question about it. And here's something that everybody that's listening to us today needs to understand. You know, when you have someone killed in combat and they're under your command, one of your responsibilities is to identify their body, because that's the commander's responsibility. Where it would be the family responsibility if it was in a civilian setting, but it's the commander's responsibility to identify that soldier. And when you stand before the body of a man that went into combat under your command, and you look on that body, you ask yourself a question, and that question is, did I do everything I could? Did I do my very best by this guy? Well, that's a question that we ought to be asking ourselves way ahead of that moment. We ought to be asking ourselves about this country as a general rule. Am I doing everything I can to make this country better, to make it survive, to get it through the difficult times that we're having? But I will tell you that I asked myself that question, and I was able to say, yes, I did everything I could, but there's always that question. So what's my point? My point is, make sure you're doing everything you can now. For example, make sure you're sharing the gospel with people so they don't go into eternity having missed the opportunity to share the gospel.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. General Jerry Boykin, my guest, a special Memorial Day edition of Washington Watch. Still to come, Lieutenant Colonel Ollie Norris is going to be joining us, and retired Major General Gary Harrell. General, I know you've as well have participated in this. I've not been where I've had to identify men under me, but I've had to do the next of kin notifications. Yeah. And that's the other side of this. While we lose the warriors, those that have laid down their lives, left behind are the family members. And you never forget those times where you've got to deliver that news and the grief and the loss that those families have. And, you know, that's part of this Memorial Day, is not only to reflect upon those who have laid down their lives, but those who are left behind, it to encourage them, to thank them, and to pray for them.
I totally agree with you, Tony. And that is one of the most difficult things. It is probably the most difficult thing that I've had to do, is to go and tell a widow or a son or a daughter that your dad was killed in combat. And in my case, it's always been dads. I've never had lost a woman in combat. That's a very difficult thing. And you're right. We need to honor them on Memorial Day. We need to understand that on that day, they are reflecting on the fact that their husband, their father, their son was killed in combat. And we do need to honor them and recognize that they also have paid a huge price.
And I think that expression of gratitude obviously can never replace what has been lost in their families and around the family table, but an understanding that their sacrifice does not go unnoticed.
No, that's right. And if you go to a military funeral, you'll notice at the very end, after they've played taps, that flag
is folded.
Somebody kneels with a folded flag and says to the widow, or widower in some cases, but on behalf of a great nation, we want to present you this flag. Well, that's all the more reason that we should show reverence to the flag.
Yeah.
We should respect the flag. We shouldn't be making the flag a political football, as the NFL seems to have done, because that flag means something when it's presented to you on behalf of your spouse or your father or your son or your brother that has been killed. It really means a lot to you, and you'll always know where that flag is.
Yes.
And it will sit on your mantle.
Yep.
And then for some who don't really understand what America is all about in terms of the sacrifice that's been made, to denigrate that flag is just sad.
I think that's why people don't understand why such a strong response to what you mentioned, the NFL and the desecration of the American flag in other cases. I've folded a number of those flags myself. Mm-hmm. That does represent. I mean, that is the visible, tangible representation of what that individual gave their life for. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know it's more than that, but it is the visible reminder that in many cases sits in a place of honor in the home.
Mm-hmm. No, that's exactly right. And I have my, even though my father was not killed in combat, he was wounded in combat. And when we buried him in 2001, you know, that flag sits on my mantle. I mean, that's that and the headstone at his grave in a veteran cemetery are the two visible things beyond our personal pictures and so forth that remind us of my dad and the sacrifice that he made.
Yeah, one is a reminder of what we lived for, and the other is what we are going to. And it's, but it is a day. And I know it's a little different beat here for Washington Watch, normally covering the political and what's unfolding in the news. But I was, again, just gripped by our recent trip to Israel and how the nation paused for their Memorial Day. I mean, things just mm-hmm. stopped. It wasn't a day just for barbecues. In fact, they were lamenting that they're getting too much of that, and they want to make sure that it stays a day that recognizes the sacrifices that were made by so many. General, I know you're not going anywhere because we're going to come back with more Washington Watch after this. Still more to come, folks, as we reflect on this day we know as Memorial Day, but the sacrifices that are behind this day. And I do hope you'll pause for just a moment. Pray for those families that have lost husbands, fathers, sons, daughters in the defense of this country. All right, when we come back, more Washington Watch. Lieutenant Colonel Ali North joins us. Don't go away.
Are you interested in making a real impact in public policy and culture? Are you looking for more internship experience at a Christian organization in the heart of our nation's capital? If you answered yes, spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience our country's rich history and culture and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day. Further, you will develop the skills required to advance faith, family, and freedom in our nation. Family Research Council's internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. As an intern, you will gain invaluable public policy experience in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. Learn more about the FRC internship program at frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships.
Since the 2016 election, faith, family, and freedom are on the move in America. Can values voters keep the momentum going in November? If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand with our leaders and fight for our values. To join this noble mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. And join hundreds of Americans who, like you, want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers at this conference include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Paul Ryan, Laura Ingraham, Kirk Cameron, Dana Loesch, Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, and Mark Levin. You'll also find plenty of networking opportunities with attendees and organizations that share a Christian worldview on issues like religious liberty, the sanctity of life, natural marriage, and national security. On September 21st to 23rd, stand with Values Voters to restore our great nation. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television, in social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is false? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate the challenging topics surrounding human sexuality. We are all created in the image and likeness of God, and all people are equal in dignity and value and must be treated with respect. LGBT activists operate on a weak understanding of sexuality and ignore how scientific and empirical evidence refutes their claims. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT, where you can download this important resource free of charge. Again, go to frc.org/LGBT to learn more.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, along with my co-host today, General Jerry Boykin, joins me here in studio. General, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
As we were saying, folks, at the beginning of the program, this is a special edition of Washington Watch, Memorial Day edition, and I hope you'll pause just long enough to kind of tune in and reflect upon the sacrifices made to preserve, to win first and preserve second, our freedoms. It's a day that, as I mentioned earlier, known as Decoration Day. For the practice of decorating graves with flowers, wreaths, and flags, the name Memorial Day actually goes back to 1882, but the older name actually didn't disappear until after World War II. Federal law declared Memorial Day the official name in 1967. Well, joining us now is another one of those heroes of mine, someone who has dedicated his life to serving the American people and serving this country. Joining us now is retired Marine Lieutenant Colonel Ollie North. He was a senior member of the National Security Council under President Ronald Reagan, and he's also the incoming president of the National Rifle Association. Colonel, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's great to be with you and the general on this very special day.
Yeah, it is.
It is a special day, too.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah. Hey, Ollie, thanks for being with us. And I know you so well, and you are not just another pretty face. Let me just say that. You are,
I do have a face for radio, so this is working out.
Well, you do, but you, in fact, have been there. You've been where the rubber meets the road. You've been wounded twice. You've been decorated for valor twice. You are a man who has seen it from 360 degrees. You've seen war. You've seen combat. What do you reflect on Memorial Day? What comes to your mind?
Well, pretty much every Memorial Day, now it's going to be over a weekend for sure, ever since we've made Mondays. I wonder when they're going to do that to Christmas. We've made a Monday holiday out of it. So yesterday, I made my annual pilgrimage down the wall and down to Arlington Cemetery across the bridge to just be with my pals, my buddies, my friends. Some of them that are in those hallowed places are guys that I served with, my brother served with as a soldier, my dad's pals from World War II in Korea, uncles, and reflect on the extraordinary sacrifice that these amazing Americans made as the guardians of our freedom. And it, you know, you just cannot help when you go to a place like either Arlington or the Wall, but particularly at Arlington, or any one of the national cemeteries around our country. If your brain's working at all, it's a moment of reflection. It's a moment of gratitude. I don't know of another way to say it other than it's the right thing to do. And, of course, it's also a day when we have mattress sales and car sales and all the rest of it. But I'm hoping that our listeners right now, if they haven't already, just taken a few minutes to just thank the good Lord for the extraordinary young men and women who put on a uniform. And since the American Revolution, it's over a million men and women who perished either directly in the conflict or as a consequence of wounds of war. And if you don't consider that we've been blessed by their sacrifice.
Colonel, let me, you often, when you speak, because you have been now 18 years with Fox News and War Stories, and you've made several embeds with our military, you've often commented on the deep commitment of the all-volunteer force that we have today, and you've found great inspiration in the willingness of these young men and women to give of themselves for this country.
Well, absolutely, Kenny. Last Saturday, just a couple of days ago, I was with a whole bunch of them at the Kennedy Center reflecting on the celebration that is America, the sacrifice of these remarkable young people. And I would tell you, I wouldn't trade $1 billion for the guys I was privileged to be with in combat in Vietnam. But there's never been a better military than the one we have today. And it isn't all volunteer. I don't believe, without any hyperbole at all, I've viewed at least 10,000 in my 60-plus embeds that I did for Fox News. And almost to a man or a woman, they will say that they were motivated because of 9/11. They never want another event like that to happen. And amazingly enough, in spite of some of the travesties of the last 8 years before President Trump, they still come. I mean, and the general knows this because he led warriors himself in combat. There's something about young Americans who are willing to put their lives on the line and go in incredibly difficult and dangerous circumstances in places where nobody would ever call pleasant and do this kind of thing repeatedly. And the general, I've met guys, and I guess you have too, Tony, who made 7, 8, 9, 10 deployments to either Afghanistan or Iraq or other places in Africa like Somalia.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you look at the sacrifice they made and the sacrifice that their families have made, and they're doing it, as I put it, the guardians of our liberty. It's extraordinary.
Yeah. Colonel, can you hang on with us? We're up against a break. We want to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and finish our conversation on this.
I'll hang right here with you, brother.
All right. Lieutenant Colonel Ali North, retired Marine colonel, reflecting along with General Jerry Boykin on the importance of Memorial Day. And, General, when we come back, I want to talk with Ali, and I know you have thoughts on this as well. Could we lose that type of devotion and commitment that prompt young men and women to lay it all on the line? I mean, it is, as I started the program, we talked about the words of Jesus in John where he says, greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for his friends. Yeah. You know, we don't have a mercenary force like other countries have. We don't force people to serve under the threat of imprisonment or execution. They do it willingly. And as Ali pointed out repeatedly, if we lose that moral Christian ethic, we could lose
all. We become mercenaries.
Right. All right, folks, don't go away. We're back after this.
Hello, can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television and social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is not true? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate challenging topics in human sexuality. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT. For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, a portion of your bill will be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. Call now 1-800-8-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com.
Hello, can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T. Perkins. My co-host today, General Jerry Boykin, Executive Vice President here at the Family Research Council. And we're joined in this segment. We're continuing our conversation with Lieutenant Colonel Ollie North, retired Marine Colonel. Ollie, thanks for sticking around.
Yeah, Ollie, I want to ask you about something here that I know the answer to in large measure, but I want to get your thoughts on it. And that is, when you go to combat with a person, you fight alongside someone, you share the dangers of combat with them, there is a bond that develops between people that cannot be duplicated in any other environment. Now, I've never been a police officer. Maybe that's another place that you would see this.
Similar.
But tell us about the bond that develops when men are sharing the dangers of combat.
Well, and General, you know this because you've been giving this lecture before. You and I did one of these a few months ago with the Secret Service.
Yeah.
The greatest test of that you can experience on a battlefield is being able to put yourself second. You have to be a servant leader in order to be a real leader. You can never ask someone to do that which you could not or would not do. And you can never lead from behind, notwithstanding what we heard a few years ago. The idea of being in combat means it is self-sacrifice. And that doesn't just happen overnight. You know, there's an expression that I hear every once in a while from a sports analogy. There's certainly nothing sporting about combat. But that is, if you want to go somewhere fast, go alone. But if you want to go somewhere far, go as a team. And so what happens in the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, particularly in the infantry, in both of our services, is a team, a cohesive team, depends on one another for things that you would never even ask your brother or your mother or your parents to do, or your best buddy back home. That team is integral to the success of the overall battle. In the case of the Marine Corps, it's one fire team leader and three Marines. And I look at those kinds of experiences as a platoon commander in combat. If I cannot tell you why they followed me up that hill, for which I was awarded a Silver Star. I don't even remember saying the words fixed bayonets, but I've been told by several of those guys who got up to the top, I did. But I do remember the extraordinary courage of Frenchie Soroy and my radio operator and my corpsman. Those are vividly engraved in my memory and will be there to the day I die. And I look at those experiences in life and I say, that wonderful line from that movie, Bridges of Toko Lee, where do we find such men? I'll tell you where we find them. We find them in the homes of Americans. We find them in the streets of our cities and our towns. We find them in farm fields and factories. And that kind of loyalty that's built up in a team like that is unlike any other relationship you can have, not even husbands and wives and faithful parents and their children. It is an extraordinary experience, and it's the kind of thing you never forget.
Well, Ollie, let me ask you a question. Are you concerned that we could lose that ethos within our military? Are you concerned that the millennial generation, for example, may not be ready to step up and serve as courageously and with the same commitment that previous generations? Or is that something perpetuate?
You and I have made observations about the cultural challenges that we face in this country today when it gets to things like what the NRA is so concerned about, is school shield, making sure that the most precious resource we have as a nation isn't oil, it's not gold, it's our children. And what's been happening over the course of this year with these school shootings, I look at those kinds of things as a symptom of a much bigger problem. And the problem is not the Second Amendment. That's not the disease.
Right.
The problem is me. Me, 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 me. And there is an extraordinary amount of selfishness that goes into what we would consider to be modern culture. And the whole ethos, as you put it, the warrior ethos, is based on the fact that I'm going to put myself at risk for someone for whom I may never see again after this combat tour. I may never see them again on Earth, but I'm going to put my life on the line for someone else. That's the ultimate sacrifice. Tony made reference to it. Great to love no man.
You know,
into some of the most god-awful places on the planet Earth. You spend months there, if not years, and Lord willing, you all come back home. And when you don't, you do what I just did on Saturday. I went down to that wall, and I went over to that cemetery right across the river from it. And I thanked the Lord that I had the great blessing of serving with those kinds of people. And I know that my dad did. I know my brother, my Army brother, my Navy brother, both had that same experience. And my hope is, you know, a nation without heroes doesn't have a future. If you think about it, the word hero itself has been, you know, bastardized.
Right.
The word hero isn't somebody who catches a pass in the end zone. It's a person who puts themselves at risk for the benefit of another. That's the kind of people that we ought to remember on Memorial Day.
Absolutely. I mean, you fall in a hole and survive, and you're a hero today. And it is it's those that are willing to sacrifice for the benefit of others. Colonel North, always great to talk with you. I want to thank you for taking time out on this Memorial Day to join us.
It's great to be with you, Tony. And General Semper Fi, the Oppressor Liber. Why did they teach us Latin?
God bless you, brother. I love you. You know that.
You too.
All right. For more, go to TonyPerkins.com. But don't go away. We're coming back with more Washington Watch right after this.
If you think anti-Semitism is a thing of the past, think again. In the last 3 years, over 1,700 anti-Semitic incidents have occurred on college campuses across the country. Supposed anti-hate watchdog groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center have curiously turned a blind eye to this emerging campus threat, and this new anti-Semitism has flown under the radar. The perpetrators of the new anti-Semitism are primarily the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions, or BDS, movement and the Students for Justice in Palestine. These two groups disguise their bigotry simply as opposition to the State of Israel's policies toward Palestinians. But a closer look at the language and tactics used by these groups reveals how Jewish college students are being attacked for believing that Israel should exist, or merely because they are Jews. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/antisemitism. Have you ever wondered how your cell phone company is spending your hard-earned money? For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, your money will only be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. Patriot Mobile is offering unlimited talk, text, and data at better prices than anything you can get from Big Mobile. More importantly, up to 5% of your monthly bill goes specifically to support conservative causes at no additional cost to you. You get the same nationwide coverage with unlimited talk, text, and data for a better price. Right now, unlimited talk and text starts at $20 a month. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. To switch, call 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com. You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television, in social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is false? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate the challenging topics surrounding human sexuality. We are all created in the image and likeness of God, and all people are equal in dignity and value and must be treated with respect. LGBT activists operate on a weak understanding of sexuality and ignore how scientific and empirical evidence refutes their claims. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT, where you can download this important resource free of charge. Again, go to frc.org/LGBT to learn more.
You're listening to Washington Watch, a special Memorial Day edition. May 30th, 1868, President Ulysses S. Grant presided over the first Memorial Day ceremony at Arlington National Cemetery, which until 1864 was Confederate General Robert E. Lee's plantation. Well, on that day, some 5,000 people attended on a spring day, which the New York Times reported was, quote, somewhat too warm for comfort. I can relate to that here in D.C. The swamp sometimes gets kind of hot. Well, the principal speaker was James A. Garfield, a Civil War general, a Republican congressman from Ohio who would be a future president. Memorial Day has a long history in America, and as we were talking about earlier, it's kind of lost some of its meaning. General Jerry Boykin, my guest, we're now joined by another general, Major General Gary Harrell, retired from the United States Army. General Harrell, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, hey, Gary, thanks for being on with us. This is a real privilege to have you on, and I'll try not to get emotional as I go through this. And which is easy for me to do, given who you are and what I know you've experienced in your military career, Gary. I know you've been through a lot of combat. You've been wounded multiple times, injured in other ways, and all that. But I also know that you've lost men in combat. And so I ask you a simple question: as we celebrate Memorial Day today, what goes through your mind? What do you think about? What do you reflect on?
You know, that's a hard question to answer quickly. But, you know, I think about all of the people who have served in our military. And it, as you well know, it goes back to 1776. And it's best expressed by a quote out of Isaiah 6:8, which says, "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then I said, here am I, send me." I think about all of those people who said, "Here am I, send me." They want to protect our country, their families, and the list just goes on. It started in the fields around Lexington and Concord when the shot heard fired around the world. And it was called that because nobody at that time in their right mind would have stood up to the superior British Army and Navy, which was superior to just about anybody else around, especially a bunch of ragtag farmers out of the United, what would become the United States. But we also had that here in East Tennessee, where I'm from. The Battle of Kings Mountain was a pivotal point in the war. And we were heavily outnumbered, but we wiped out the British that had been pestering our forefathers. And I also think of a quote from George Orwell. "We sleep safely in our beds at night because rough men stand ready to visit violence on those who would harm us." And as you are well aware, in the special operations community, we have very, very many men who have answered that call. But the thing that strikes me the most about it is thinking back to 93, when in the streets of Mogadishu, six of my men and 12 more of Task Force Ranger were killed in the pursuit of a vicious warlord who was terrorizing his own people. But I think of Randy Shugart, Gary Gordon, Riz Martin, Earl Fillmore, Dan Bush, and Matt Ryerson. Those men answered the call, and they sacrificed their lives for our nation.
And many of them, many of them rest in Arlington today, too, don't they?
They do. Randy and Gary were awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. And because of their sacrifice, you know, Mike Duran is still alive today. But the idea that anybody would voluntarily jump into that turmoil is almost beyond comprehension. But they did, and they saved Mike's life.
Yeah, Gary, I want to make sure our audience knows a little bit about you. And you're a Special Forces officer. You served in the 82nd, but then you came into Special Forces. And then ultimately, as a young captain, you came into the Delta Force and worked your way all the way up to being the commander of the Delta Force. But that was after you had been severely wounded. And Gary, I see it just like it was yesterday. I was standing a foot from you when you were wounded very severely. And the next morning when I saw you, I didn't think you were going to make it because you were in such bad shape. Nonetheless, you rebounded. You got yourself back fit enough to come back and be the commander of the Delta Force. So I want our audience to understand, you, like Ollie North that we had on previously, you have been there. You've been where the rubber meets the road, and you know what it's like to see men die in combat and then to reflect on their deaths, you know, on Memorial Day. So I just wanted our group to know that. But here's a question that I would ask you as you reflect on what happened to you in Mogadishu there, in the severe wounds and all. You actually came to me and you said, "I just don't understand why was I spared?" And I've gone through the same thing. I've asked myself the same question. But I think I told you then that you needed to get beyond that and understand that God spared you for a reason. God had a purpose in your life. So the question that I ask then is, as we reflect on Memorial Day and what it means and the people that have been killed, do you feel that you have come to understand why God spared you there?
You know, that's a hard question to answer, Jerry. I would like to tell you that, yes, I think I understand it all completely, and I know the answer to that. I will always be eternally grateful that God spared my life that day, because you can't say it any other way. You know how close that mortar round hit. But no, I would be lying to you if I told you I've got it figured out. I don't. But I'm grateful that he did, and I hope and try to live up to the fact that God spared me for something, and I hope I'm I'm moving towards that, and I'm accomplishing what he wanted.
You're listening to a special Memorial Day edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, actually co-host, along with General Jerry Boykin today, our guest, retired Major General Gary Harrell, and discussing on, you know, what the significance of this day. And General Harrell, I want to ask you a question, same question I asked Ollie. And, you know, when you look at what motivates young men to go, as you were just describing what took place in Mogadishu, that willingly going into the face of death, the motivation there, love for their fellow man, a love for this country. And as we see a breakdown, a division in this country, not just ideologically, but morally, as we see the foundation crumble, are you concerned unless we repair that, that there may come a day where we don't see the men and women motivated to give their lives to something greater than themselves?
Well, first off, let me say I am of the opinion that we have not completely lost that yet. However, I do worry that we are headed in the wrong direction on that. And I hope and pray that our leaders and our churches can turn that around so that we don't see a complete loss of dedication and sacrifice. I don't think sacrifice is a very popular word today, but I will tell you that I think that we have a lot of outstanding young soldiers, sailors, Marines, Air Force, Coast Guard, that are still stepping up and stepping forward when it comes time to do the right thing. You know, we just saw the Special Forces soldiers killed in Africa, mm-hmm. And there have been others. But I am worried about the way we seem to be headed. I don't know how else to say it.
I'm going to ask both of you here as we're coming down to the close of our program. We've got a few minutes left. But as folks are listening here, Memorial Day, you know, many involved in barbecues and might be a little late to get to the national cemetery in their community. But we were talking earlier about the importance of expressing our appreciation to the families that are left behind, praying for them, letting them know that their sacrifice was not first, not unnoticed, but secondly, that it of the great importance, and it's hard to fill that void, but at least the appreciation from their fellow Americans. What would you recommend to Americans today, to our listeners, on how to properly celebrate and commemorate this Memorial Day?
I think there is absolutely nothing wrong with the picnics and the family, enjoying your family and all that. But I would simply ask that you stop and pause for a short time and think of those who sacrificed their lives, who then missed the rest of their lives. They never saw any more birthday parties. They never saw their anniversaries, their loved ones again. And I think it's very appropriate that you stop what you're doing and talk about those and maybe offer a prayer for their families, because they don't have them anymore. And I think that's something that we should never forget, because those people voluntarily said, here am I, send me.
Yeah, Gary, I think that's good counsel, and I totally agree with you. I think you've nailed it. I would say that if you are in a town or a city that has a veterans cemetery and you have the time, go by there. You don't have to go to any special grave or anything else, but go by. Take a little wreath of flowers or something and put it out. First of all, if you are a father and you have children, it means something to your children to see you honoring the veterans. They won't understand it until you explain it to them. But they see you honoring the people that have gone before us, that have made the sacrifice. I think it sends them a powerful message, and that may help us. If we had enough of that, it would help us not to go through what we've been through with the National Football League. Mm.
Jerry, that's a great point. Educating our children on what those service members sacrificed and why they did it is a great, great answer.
General Harrell, I want to thank you for joining us today, but more importantly, I want to thank you for your service to our country. And again, just grateful that you've taken time out on this Memorial Day to join General Boykin and I.
Yeah, thanks, Gary.
You're very welcome. Good to talk to you both.
All right.
Gary, take care.
Okay.
Major General Gary Harrell, another American hero, many, many of them across this country who have served, and by the grace of God, they're still here with us. Others, in God's providence, we don't understand all those things, but they are not. And today, we recognize that. And we, I think first, General Boykin, I think first we express our appreciation to God that we live in a society, in a country that still, and I agree with General Harrell, still motivated by that Judeo-Christian ethic. We haven't lost it. I mean, I think it's frayed, but we haven't lost it. I think we have to do all we can to nurture it, because I do believe the future of this country, and with the future of this country, and I think you would agree with me, what we've seen just in the last few months, that what America does matters to the world.
It does indeed, Tony, and America is, as Ronald Reagan described it, the light on the hill, and we will continue to be as long as we want to be. But that means all of us have to get engaged in what's going on in our nation.
We need to be praying beyond this day. Obviously, we want to express our appreciation to God for our freedom. First, I would say our spiritual freedom that came by someone else laying down his life for us, and that is Jesus Christ, who willingly gave himself on the cross to pay the penalty for...
Sua sponte.
Yes. You talked about that last week at our pastor's briefing. Willingly giving it all for us. And that's the source of that freedom. But modeling that in a mortal way, we lay down our lives for our fellow citizens. And that comes from that understanding of Jesus Christ. Now, not everybody in the culture gets that, but that's what motivates our culture to do that, to continue to produce those men and women. So I think our job, General, now that you've joined the Family Research Council. Both you and I have left the military, but we've still taken the oath of this country. And I think the greatest contribution we can make is to restore and preserve that moral foundation that will give America a standing for the future,
and perpetuate it within our sphere of influence, which is always our family.
That's where it begins. Dads, begins with you. Leading your family to an understanding of the price of freedom. And I do encourage you, you've got plenty of time left in this day. Pray. Thank God for your freedom, and thank God for the men and women who won that freedom and protected that freedom. General, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Tony.
Folks, thank you for joining us on this Memorial Day, and I leave you with this. The encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, prepared and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.